Sometimes I like to talk about what I did for a career in my first life. I know a lot of other people would just say what your first career was, but in some ways it feels like a different life. And for those who don't know, I used to be a chef. So I've had a very deep and ongoing relationship with food that has stretched across at least 5 or 6 years. And it always strikes me in this parsha of Shmini, this reading in the Torah, because it is here that the laws of kashrut come into play. And I was reminded, thinking about this week's parsha, about the time I lived in a little two-room shack in New Mexico. I had fruit trees, it was a beautiful little plot and garden, but it was the first time when I was there that a friend of mine was going to shect a goat, was going to ritually take care of a goat. How's that for a euphemism? Well, I know some people are squeamish because we live in an age in which we're not really connected with where our food comes from and its sources. And I have to tell you, you would think that taking the life of an animal is perhaps gross or disheartening or intense, and it was in some ways some of those things, but it was also, I think, one of the most sacred moments of my life, because I understand that animals have some sort of soul as well, that there's a presence that's there and it's not there, and it makes the whole process extremely, extremely moving and sacred. And we lose that with the way we relate to our food in our day. So what I want to do with that as a preamble, I want to open the floor and ask you, start with this question, are we what we eat? Are we what we eat? So, no, you actually have to give more than that. I'm sorry. Those yes and no answers are really great, but, you know, Raul, how come?
Well, just going to the science, the food that we eat get transformed in our body and becomes part of us.
So on the very physical level, we assimilate the vegetable, the animal, the fish. We break it down into its components. We take its energy in. And, you know, there are beautiful stories about that awareness in many traditions. The Potlatch Indians of the Northwest used to speak to the salmon they would eat before they eat it and offer a prayer up. And when a new kosher shochet, ritual slaughterer, came to town and did everything exactly correct, nobody would buy the meat from the animal. And when he asked them, how come nobody's doing it? I followed all the rules. And they turned and they looked at him and said, because our last shochet cried every time he killed an animal. Right? This relationship that we are what we eat in so many ways. Okay, other reasons that we are what we eat.
You eat fat, you get fat.
You eat. Jack Spratt could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. Right. So how much we eat, our relationship with food, leaves an imprint. Some of us are blessed with really fast metabolisms and can hide that a little bit better, but certainly wonderful.
One of the things that I've noticed is that when my wife and I go to a very fine restaurant, the food is so specially prepared that we can actually both share an entree and feel fulfilled, that the energy that goes into the food is something that we get. And then when we eat stuff that's just whatever, I can eat and I keep eating.
So we know about this in so many levels, right? Those 100-calorie snack packs and the diminution of flavor in the name of health actually makes us less healthy, but there's love that goes into cooking, and we can taste it, right? I can taste my grandmother's brisket right now. I'm sorry, I didn't invite any of you to share. But it's still there after all these years, and beautiful food makes an impact on us. It changes us. I once was a chef in Galisteo, New Mexico. It's one of my, you know, when you I think we all want impact in our lives, to know that our lives matter. And I probably only have a handful of stories where I can say yes, but this one day, this couple who had been married long enough came in and they were just grumpy with one another. They were in this beautiful inn on vacation and they were just bickering at one another. And I have to tell you that 15 minutes before that, I had walked across the dirt road there to the little farm on the opposite side and picked the fresh greens, which was the last thing I did, washed them, spun them dry. And when that salad went out, they stopped fighting for a second. And then they started eating it. And they could taste the love of the farmer from across the street and the care I put in. And within about 10 or 15 minutes, this couple remembered why they'd fallen in love. So food is very transformative.
You enjoyed the brisket?
I did enjoy the brisket, yes. Would you like some?
Very.
Cheapskate rabbi. So we have a sense that what we eat matters. And the Jewish tradition, like many ancient traditions, understood this at the deepest level. And the Torah speaks about what we can eat and what we cannot, and the laws of kashrut, the laws of keeping kosher. It tells us what sort of animals we can partake in, animals that have cloven hooves and chew their cud, which, by the way, are all gentle animals. These are not animals that prey on others. And so one understanding is that we, part of our job, is to become more loving in this world. And so even when we are taking in the energy of another life, we choose which animals we use for that. Our tradition tells us not to mix, as we know, milk and meat, because there is some sense of cruelty, not that the animal would know, but that we would know that the very source of life for a kid is what we're cooking it in, and it doesn't sit quite right. So kashrut is one of the most defining aspects of the Jewish people. And regardless of what level we observe it at, it has the ability to teach us about conscious eating, about being aware, about having sensitivity to other animals. The way that we slaughter to this day results, there's a lot of science around this, in probably one of the best deaths an animal can have. The whole process is actually very relaxing when done according to the traditional ways. So we sometimes think that ethical commandments are more important than the ritual. We sometimes think that how we treat others matters more than if God wants us to observe Shabbat or keep kosher. But I think that when we begin to dig down into this stuff of religion, we find it's not very easy to separate out ritual from the ethical or the ethical from the ritual. And that the goal of our tradition is to help us tune in at all of those moments, that ritual actions inform our ethics, and that our ethics, please God, better inform the way we perform our rituals as well. So with that said, Al Tivashel Gidi Bechilev Imo, we're instructed not to cook a kid in its mother's milk. We're instructed to send a bird away, a mother bird away, if we're going to take the baby bird for food. We're instructed to become kinder, gentler, better people, because ultimately we are what we eat, and that makes all the difference.